All right, I invite you to turn to John 1:16 today. John 1:16, we are blessed so that we can bless other people. In 2013, Norman Rockwell's masterpiece entitled Saying Grace was sold at auction by Sotheby's in New York. The people who were selling this picture that you're well aware of, you remember that Norman Rockwell, for over 50 years, painted pictures that served as the cover of the magazine, The Saturday Evening Post. When this was auctioned, that little picture, it sold for twice what the owner thought it would receive, $46 million for that painting. If you look at that, you'll see what appears to be a grandmother with her grandson just bowing and giving thanks before they eat. Then there are two young boys, look like teenagers, are sitting there looking at them with an inquisitive look. And you know, when I see that picture, I think about in America, overall, we're living with an ungrateful heart. I'll give you an example. Next time you go out to eat, I want you to look across the restaurant as people receive their meals. How many people bow and give thanks? Let me ask you a more personal question. How many of you, when you receive your meal at home in the private place of your kitchen or in a restaurant, take a moment to just bow and give thanks? I did a little research about America and where we stand economically in comparison to other nations. As Americans, we think that we're entitled to good health, to security, a good wage, and lots of other things. But I want you to know this world is struggling to survive. Let me put it in perspective. If you have food in your refrigerator, which some of you do, some of it's fresher than others, if you have a roof over your head, if you have a bed in which to sleep, you're wealthier than 75% of the people that live on the face of this earth. If you have money in your wallet right now, or a debit card, or access to credit, or at home, if you have a little jar or a dish where you have change, I want you to know that you're in the top 8% of the world's wealthiest people. Think about that. If you've never experienced danger, loneliness of imprisonment, agony, starvation, you're already ahead of 500 million people who experience that on a daily basis. If you attend a worship service like this, without fear of persecution or imprisonment, you're more blessed than 3 billion people on the face of this earth. What we're doing right now is illegal for most of the world to come together for worship. We just forget how blessed we are. Now, I want you to look at John chapter 1, verse 16. And notice what we find the Word of God about our blessings. Out of the fullness of His grace, He has blessed us all, giving us one blessing after another. And listen to me carefully. A lot of people disagree with this. Everything that you have, everything that you have is a blessing directly from God. You say, well, no, Pastor, I work hard. Yes, you do. But who gives you the health? Who gives you the oxygen? Who gives you the heartbeat to be able to have the health to go out and earn that paycheck? Oftentimes we think if we work hard, we deserve everything we have. But God says, no, it's all because of my grace. Now, listen carefully. Robert Louis Stevenson said this, there's nothing in the universe but God's grace. Now think about that. We live and die by God's grace. The earth is spinning on its axis by God's grace. If it were not for God's grace, this world would explode or it would implode, and none of us would be here anymore. Listen to me carefully. Everything we have is given to us by God's unmerited favor towards us. So how do we accept God's blessings? First of all, I want you to write this down. Accept God's blessings with a very humble spirit. What the followers of Christ draw from F.F. Bruce, one of the commentaries that I use studying this message, he said this: what the followers of Christ draw from the ocean of divine fullness is grace upon grace, one wave of grace being constantly replaced by a fresh one. It's the picture of going to the Gulf or going to the ocean. You see one wave come in, and then another wave replaces it, and it keeps coming and coming and coming, and it never ever stops. Paul said this. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you." This means that you must receive God's blessings through Christ. Everything God does for you and me, He does in us. Whatever He does for us is all through God's grace. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Through Christ, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that heaven has to offer. There it is again, that phrase, through Christ. All of our blessings are wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you don't get God's blessings by keeping rituals. You don't get it by religion, by doing everything right. He says it's because of the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you study Romans chapter 9, you'll find that God's blessings are not given just because somebody decides they want blessings. It's not because somebody works hard to get blessings. They're given because God takes pity on those of us that He desires. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. In Luke chapter 4, verse 19, God is ready to give blessings to all who come to Him. He's already taken the first step so that you and I can be blessed. Robert Emmons at the University of California did some research, and here's what he found out. He said that we need to have a positive attitude about things. Now listen, positive attitude does not replace saving faith, trust in Jesus as Savior, and following Him as Lord of your life. Because if you just walk around without Jesus with a positive attitude, you're going to split hell wide open with a positive attitude. But what he said was this. He said we ought to always be positive and give thanks for what we have, even in the worst of times. Even when we're in the worst crisis we've ever experienced in our whole life, he says we ought to be positive and look around at what we do have. Now think about this. He said, as he did a little more research, he said that when you give thanks, when you have a positive attitude, it raises the serotonin and dopamine chemicals associated with pleasure and contentment. And he says, as we're trying to think about the positive things in our lives, we need to think about what we've done for other people. All of us have certain blessings that we've been given that we can share with other people. And he said, when you think about sharing with other people, you need to ask yourself three questions. Number one, what have I received from him or her? Number two, what has that person given to me? And number three, how much trouble have I caused him or her that I'm about to bless? He said that final question will increase our sense of gratitude by helping us discover you owe others more than you thought. So I want you to know that when God blesses us, we need to have a humble spirit in receiving those blessings. And we get those blessings. It's not all about us. It's all about helping other people. And notice the second thing he says here. Access God's blessings with a heart of gratitude. I've taken classes in seminary where they're trying to define worship. What is worship? Lots of people have said it has to do with singing praises unto God. You know, some of us can't sing. Some of us just have to make a joyful noise. And it's not joyful to those who are seated around us. But that's the way we worship. Listen to me carefully. you celebrate God's blessings in worship. You're thanking God for the blessings you already have. God loves to bless people who are grateful for what they have. We call that worship. And we worship Him for what He has already done for us. He'll bless us even more. So you see, worship is not just preaching. It's not just singing. Worship is a lifestyle. It's that attitude of gratitude we hear about this time of the year where you continually thank God for everything. Let me ask you a question. When the clock went off this morning, mine went off at 6:25, did you reach over there and turn it off and say, "Thank you, God, for giving me another day"? No, your wife said, "Will you turn that thing off? Why is that going off at 6:30? Let me ask you, did you thank God for another day? Did you thank God when you sat down to breakfast, whatever that was, honey-coated Cheerios, whatever it might have been? Did you sit down and give thanks because you had breakfast? Let me ask you a question. Have you ever said, "Praise God, I've got dirty dishes"? Because if you got dirty dishes, that means you have food in your house. Do you ever go along during the day and you start out your day and you're going to get a shower, and while you're in the shower, you thank God I have hot water? If you want to learn an appreciation for hot water, go with Billy on some of his mission trips to the Ukraine or Lawi Tambo, Peru, and he'll tell you what a blessing hot water is in your shower. When you put on your clothes in the morning, do you say, "Thank God I have clothes"? As you get into your car and you drive to work, you say, "Well, I just thank God I've got a job and I have a car that will get me back and forth to work." What about this? "Lord, thank you that I and my children and my grandchildren can live in a free country like the United States of America." Now, ladies and gentlemen, this isn't biblical. It isn't scriptural. This is an advertisement. We need some football players that need to be exported from the NFL to a communist country. They do not appreciate what we have. When God sees you, He wants to bless you more because you're grateful for what you have. If you're ungrateful, why would God want to bless you? Turn to Romans 5:11. We rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus has done for us. Now think about this. That grace that we have was all paid for by the blood of God's only Son. Listen, when Jesus died on the cross, He paid for our salvation. The Bible says, "Since God did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for all of us, won't God, who gave us Jesus Christ, give us everything we need?" Then admit your happy dependence on God. Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see." Listen to me carefully. God blesses people who trust Him. God blesses people who believe in Him. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Only faith can guarantee the blessings we hope for." Not going to church, being a nice person, anything else. Only faith can guarantee the blessings of God in your life. God is pleased when you rely on Him. You get in a mess and say, "God, I don't know how in the world I'm going to take care of this. You just need to bless me." Well, think about this. You look back in your past, and "Lord, I was in a crisis in the past, didn't know how I was going to get out, but You came through. You came with a solution." It is faith that brings God's blessings in your life. The Bible says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." Every time I choose worry over faith, I want you to know we've displeased God and we put ourselves in a position Well, we're not going to be blessed by God. The Bible says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now think about that. I don't really go around thinking about that every day. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Well, we think about sin as lying, stealing, adultery, and a lot of other things. But he says here, whatever we do that's not of faith, by faith and in faith, is also a sin. In 2 Corinthians 9, God says, God can pour on the blessings in astonishing ways so that you're ready for anything and everything that comes your way. Let me ask you a question. What are you expecting God to do in your life? Let me give you a good example. If you have children, have you been praying about a mate for your child? Have you been praying that your child would marry a practicing Christian? Do you have faith to believe that God can make that happen in the life of your children, or maybe it's your grandchildren? He says here that he blesses those who have a level, a faith level of expectations with great blessings. Now, when you study your Bible, you find that every time God did a miracle, he did it because of somebody's faith. He performed miracles as a response to somebody's faith. You say, well, if it's up to me, no. If it's to be, it's up to God. Rely on him to bring you through this difficult situation. You remember in the Sermon on the Mount of Olives, in the Mount, Jesus said, you can either worry or you can trust. That's the only two choices we have. I want you to think about this. Yesterday, I went out to our bird feeders. I hadn't been out there for several days, and I just loaded them full because I knew cold weather was on the way. The blue norther was coming last night. And you know what I thought about? The scripture that says, the birds don't worry, God feeds them. It didn't matter whether I fed them or not. But I have a captive audience out there. We look out there and see the red birds and all other kind of birds out there just eating away. But when Jesus talks about worry, he says God takes care of the birds in the air. He feeds them. Aren't you not worth more than a bird? And then he goes on and says, don't worry about what you eat or drink or what you're going to wear. God will take care of you. Have you ever thought about this? How many of you believe God, in the beginning, God created everything? If not, you just need to get saved. You believe in the inerrancy, inspiration, infallibility of Scripture because it's all summed up in the beginning, God. We got an education system now that's trying to convince our young people that it all started from a big bang. That is what they call the theory. Theory, not truth, of evolution. You want truth? Go to the Word of God. Now, I want you to think about this. All the beautiful things and creatures that God has made. We were in Hawaii. We were staying in one hotel, and there were penguins, live penguins, in the hotel. I thought, what are they doing here? Don't they go to cold areas? And so they looked like they had on little tuxedos, and they had a little pool for them. And, you know, this is what older people do now. When you go away on a big vacation to Hawaii, you can find out when they feed the penguins. And so you make sure you've had your nap, and then you wake up in time, you go down and watch them feed the penguins. They had some of the most beautiful, exotic birds I've ever seen right there in the hotel. We saw volcanoes. We saw the second highest mountain peak in the world. I've had so much pineapple, the whites of my eyes have a yellow tint to them. But we saw pineapple fields. We just saw it all. And you can't fly over that. You can't travel through that without knowing there's a supreme being. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The only creature God ever created that worries would be the human being. Isn't that sad? We're the only ones that worry out of all God's creation. You're all uptight. you're in a mess somehow financially with your marriage, business, job, your kids, with school, whatever it is, listen, the same God who showed up last time, if you depend on him, will bless you by his grace. Think about this. God knew the mess you were going to get into before you got into it. So if he knew it before you got into it, is it possible he had a solution for you to get out? Next thing I want you to write down is I want you to know that you need to appropriate heaps of God's blessings on other people. Now watch this. Receive God's blessings by faith. Celebrate them by worship. Expect God's blessings by faith. And then share God's blessings with other people. Return God's blessings generously by sharing your blessings with other people. God doesn't just bless your life for yourself. You say, well, man, this is great. I'm just the most blessed person in the whole wide world. That's great. Give God thanks. Be humble about it. But then you need to see this world through God's eyes, and you need to bless other people. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance. Listen, so that by always having enough on everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. Now, what did I tell you? When we got started, roof over your head, clothes to wear, something to eat, you're in the top 25% wealthy people in the world. If you have money in your wallet, you've got money in the piggy bank at home, you're in the top 8% of the people that live in the entire world as far as wealth. Now listen, God has blessed you for a reason, and that 2 Corinthians passage says this. He says, now, if you will bless others with what I've given you, I will reload you so you can keep blessing other people. You say, now, Pastor, that's a health wealth gospel. No, it's not. It's scripture. He says, I'll be generous with you. You be generous with other people. By my grace, I'll give you more so you can keep giving to other people. I had a wreck the other day. I conducted a wedding, and it was a destination wedding. It was a place I'd never been before. And came home after rehearsal, told Delaine what a beautiful place it is. I said, you want to go with me tomorrow? And she said, oh, yeah, I'm going. We got through, and I want you to know when we walked out of the reception area, we had to go out to this hay field, and there were no lights. There were not even any of those landscape lights. And so I said, darling, just hold on to my arm. Feel like you're going to fall, don't roll your ankle. I'll hold you up. We'll get there one way or another. About that time somebody turned on their headlights, they had found their way to their car by feeling around in the darkness. And so we got there, we got in our car, and there's a car in front of me. It was about 10 feet space between us, so Delaine got in, I got in. It's pitch dark. I backed up just a little bit, and there was a little lane right there you could go down and get to the cow gate and get out. So I backed her car up gently, about 6 feet, and then I looked right and left. I saw nothing, and I turned to my right, and crunch. I said, Delaine, I have hit a fence post. And so I backed up. Well, that fence post was a red 2014 Toyota Camry. And I'd pulled a quarter of the left front of the bumper out and crushed a headlight. Bent the fender in on Delaine's car and her door. And so I said, well, there's not one thing for me to do. I got to go in there and see the DJ. Delaine and I just finished dancing a little Motown there and dancing to My Girl. And then Ray Charles took the wheel of the car. So I went in there to the DJ, and he's got everything going on. I said, hey, man, you need to call the owner of a red 2014 Toyota Camry to the parking lot. And so nobody came. So what I'm going to do, I left Delaine at the car, went back to the car, and Delaine had caught the girl who owned the car and her mom. Now listen, they were talking to each other and just got in the car, cranked it up, and were driving off. Delane was waving at them and said, "Stop, stop, stop." They just ignored her. She said, "Stop." So finally they rolled the window down and she said, "My husband has hit your car." They said, "There's nothing wrong with our car." Delane said, "Get out." They got out and went around there and the bumper's pulled out. There's white paint all over the thing. So I get back out there and the girl shows me her smartphone. She said, "6 weeks ago, I was driving down the highway 60 miles an hour. Somebody rear-ended me at 60 miles an hour. I spun around 3 times and hit a guardrail. The whole front end from the firewall and the dashboard front of the car was gone." I looked at her and said, "Girl, you're not supposed to be alive." She said, "I know it." I said, "And now somebody," she said, "I've only had this car 2 weeks." I just felt so bad. And then I asked her where she went to church. She told me she's 23 years old, college student. She's teaching 3rd and 4th grade. Eric, our youth minister, was her youth minister years ago. Well, we waited on the police officer to come. You know, those police officers, they're so formal. I don't blame them. I'd have my hand on my gun all the time. And I reached out to shake his hand. I knew better than to do that. And then some of our church members came out, saw I'd had a wreck. I said, "Look, I've already passed the breathalyzer test, going back in to the DJ. And so I finally decided, I'm not going to go into the insurance details. I decided I'm just going to pay for the damage on that car and pay for our damage out of my own pocket, because the insurance company said we're going to put a surcharge on you, a surtax, and raise your insurance 20% immediately. Well, I'd had that company since 1981, and we'd only had one accident we'd turn in and that amount of years. So I made a decision about that insurance company. You are busted. You're not taking my money anymore. Well, I want you to know that I met the girl and her dad over in Cedartown. They had taken the car to get it fixed. They brought me a bill, and I think I took Billy with me that day, didn't I, Billy? And I had a little agreement that I'd written up. This is to certify that Philip May has given you blah, blah, blah for damages, and that you are to be satisfied for 2 weeks with your car, and after that, you can't come back and sue me for anything else. They were all satisfied with that. Billy signed off on it. I signed it. We got it notarized. But when I started writing the check, she told me she was a student at West Georgia. I looked at her and I said, "You told me you're a college student, aren't you?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "When's the last time you had a real fine, fancy meal?" Now, when you say that to a college student, that's Chick-fil-A. You understand? And so I said, "Look, I'm just going to write this out for more money than I owe you." And she and her dad said, "You don't have to do that." I said, "You've got some kind of need in your life, and this has been a bad inconvenience for you. I'm just going to write it out for more than I owe." You should have seen her face. She just looked so strange. You know what? That's the way you and I ought to live. We're so blessed. You know where that begins? Tithing. Do you know how many people this church blesses through its ministries every week? Because we got people that actually give. You say, "Well, Pastor, that's Old Testament." Okay, I'll step it up for you. Go to the New Testament. The Bible says we're to give out of our abundance. I told you, you're in the top 8%. You're in the top 25%. Of 800 billion people. So if we're supposed to give our abundance, the tithe just went out the window. The percentage is a whole lot more than 10%. Savor that for a little while. Our teenagers sometimes go down to help the Salvation Army. They help sort clothes. They do all kinds of things down there. You remember General Booth is the one who founded the Salvation Army. When he was on his dying bed, his board of directors was having a meeting, so somebody sent a message to General Booth and said, "Do you have a word for our board of directors?" There he was, life fleeting from his body, and he only sent back one word. Here was the message to be sent back to his board of directors: others. That's the blessed life. It's not about me. It's not about my needs. It's about the needs of others. I'm not here to be ministered to. I'm here to minister and to give life for others. Now, some of you are not there yet, but how many of you remember your senior year in high school? Now, some of you who are older, if you don't remember it, your spouse does. So how many of you remember your senior year in high school? Now, I want you to know, in high school, we were wearing bell bottoms. And, you know, I'm going to tell you what. In bell bottoms, my legs, now some of you are already laughing, look like two toothpicks in my mother's formal dining room drapes. That's what they look like. And we were wearing stacked shoes. Some of y'all remember those guys. And we were wearing all kind of strange looking tie-dyed stuff. And there was always somebody up to something in our senior class. You remember that? Well, I want you to know that the year was 2015. The high school senior's name was Emily Jones. It was at North High School in Wichita, Kansas. Emily went to see the principal one day voluntarily. And she told the principal, she said, "We need you to do something for us." Said, "We want to give you this bucket." And said, "Tomorrow when we come to class, we want you to just stand out in the hall, Mr. Paget, and hold this bucket." Now he figured the senior class was up to a prank, but he said, "Okay, I'm game." So the next day, he stood outside his office in the hall holding a bucket. Can you imagine? The bell rings and your principal's standing out here holding a bucket. He's finally lost it. Some of you as school teachers and administration, assistant principals and principals, can imagine this. And while he was there, a student came by and just dropped an envelope in there, and then another student came by. And guess what they did? Same thing. Then another student came by. They just did the same thing. So he's just standing there holding the bucket. Daniel, how many students are in this senior class? And another one came. When it's live, you roll with it, folks. And then finally, one of them woke up his nap in first period, came forward. You were not the valedictorian. Thank you. So Mr. Paget put his bucket down. He reached in there and thought, "Boy, this is going to be the prank of the century." And he opened it up and he took out this message. It said, "Dear Mr. Paget, my high school years have been the best years of my life, all because of the school environment you made for us here at North High School. I'll be eternally thankful for what you did for us." Obviously, that's not a normal child. He pulled out another envelope. "Mr. Paget, thank you for helping save my life. when I came to you and I told you I had an eating disorder, you got me the counseling that I needed. You followed up on me and you supported me through these years. You saved my life. Thank you for what you've done. So he decided it was safe. He reached in and picked up another envelope. When he did, "Dear Mr. Paget, the principal, this is the first year I have lived in America. Thank you for loving me and supporting me and making me feel a part of this class. I will fondly remember my first year in America at North High School. Sincerely," and the student signed her name. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you blessed somebody else? When's the last time somebody blessed you and you just wrote them a little note, put it in the mail in your own handwriting, and said thanks? Let me ask you this. Does it take a Thanksgiving season every year in America to give you a grateful heart? The Word of God says every blessing we have is undeserved, unmerited, showered on us by the grace and the mercy of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When's the last time you said, "Lord Jesus, I give you thanks"? And remember this, as he showers you and you bless others, he's going to reload you so you can do it all over again to somebody else who has a need. Will you stand right where you are? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.